All right, back on the Young Turks. Anna, I hear that it's Halloween.
Yep.
We did a meme costume here at the Young Turks office today, and I was scared and confused by it. I didn't know how to participate. You're way too grumpy to participate, right?
I have shit to do.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. You guys also have stuff to do, which is A, to have an excellent time during Halloween. If you got kids, have an excellent time with them. If you don't, go to the parties, have the time of your life, because Halloween is the best night of the year if you're single or if you're a kid. And if you're a parent, tolerate it. And no matter what you are, go to shoptyt.com because there is a bananas 20% sale today.
Bananas.
I never authorize these sales. I'm not sure I agree with them. But shoptyt.com, there is plenty of Halloween material out there. I was wearing the Jurassic Park t-shirt earlier today. And then tweets, hashtag TYT Live, talk to us during the show.
I want to plug what our post game will be about today.
Okay, well, go for it.
Okay, I want to talk about the Zipa commercials. Have you heard Zipa commercials?
Never.
We will talk about Zipa commercials. I have another surprise for you guys.
Oh, a surprise in the post game. TYTnetwork.com/join to become a member and get surprises, trick or treat on Halloween. Hey, we got a trick or treat for Dianne Feinstein. Find out about that on Thursday. Halloween comes a little late for Dianne, a couple of days late. It's definitely going to be a trick, and it's going to be a treat for progressives. Jimmy Dore is going to be here. John Iderol is going to be here. A 5-hour special on Thursday. And the exciting announcement at 6 o'clock. All right, I Am Sock says about Carter Page. Why is he smiling as he is incriminating himself? That is so weird. Agreed. James Harris says, could Carter Page already be working with Mueller and okay to sweat Trump? You know, James, I thought the same thing, and you're not alone. Others thought that as well. Maybe he's already cooperating and he's going on there to try to irritate Trump and get him to tweet something that's incriminating. On the other hand, he just doesn't look smart enough to do that.
That interview was ill-advised.
Yes.
I was listening to it on my way home from work last night, and at first I thought it was a joke. At first I'm like, oh, that's funny, they're doing like a pre-Halloween trick. Like, you know, they think it's cute. And I'm like, oh, wait, no, that's really him.
Yeah, absurd. No, it was really him on his last couple of free days. Let's see what happens. All right, Anna, what's next?
All right, unfortunately, we start off with a potential terror attack in New York. It appears that a man in New York driving a truck intentionally ran over individuals in New York City who were in the bike lane. Now, reports indicate that he did so for about 20 blocks, and there have been fatalities. The man drove a pickup truck down a lengthy stretch of bike path next to the Hudson River in Lower Manhattan, striking numerous people. The vehicle then collided with a school bus from Stuyvesant High School. Now, the death toll as it stands right now as we report this is 8 individuals who unfortunately were killed and 15 injured. The number may increase after you watch this video, but as of now, the fatalities are at 8. Also, police said that the suspect was taken into custody. Now, we have some video footage, but we'll talk over it and kind of discuss some more details into this story. Now, we don't know exactly what happened. We do know that the man started to run away from the authorities, and it appeared at the time that he had a firearm. However, it was an imitation firearm. So the initial reports that indicated that he had shot at a crowd of people were incorrect. But we do know that he had an imitation firearm and the cop shot at him, but he was not killed on the scene. He was rushed to the hospital where he is, there he is running, where he's receiving medical treatment and of course will then face charges for what he did. But again, it was intentional. And the mayor is identifying this as an act of terror.
Yeah, so the first 24 hours of these incidents are always have facts that are not solid. Some of it will turn out to be true and others will have to fix later. But And you often get it from witnesses, and the story's coalescing as we speak. So there were the initial people, witnesses saying that they heard gunshots, but apparently not. He ran into a school, he rammed a school bus mm-hmm. filled with kids. And that's why you saw his truck was smashed there from Home Depot, however he got that. And then there were witnesses who said he was shouting Allahu Akbar. Mm-hmm. And it is apparently an act of terrorism, as the mayor declared it. So if your God thinks that you should kill little school children, it might be the wrong God.
Right. Yeah, and I wish we knew more about what his motivation was and what he's thinking, but we don't know at the moment, but we will fill you guys in as this report develops. But it's just devastating, man. I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
So look, I know we got to go through the usual stuff here, and Morning Joe will be on the air tomorrow saying they hate us because they hate us. They hate us because they hate us. But we got to stop the wars. It's an endless cycle of violence, and I know that some people profit off of it, but it's us they're killing. And so it seems like, well, drone strikes in foreign lands, who cares? That doesn't affect us. It's like a video game being played out of Tampa. It's not our kids, it's not our civilians being killed. But turns out it is our civilians being killed, because it's an endless cycle of violence. And then folks, whoever the hell they are, come in here and kill folks. So you don't have to live in New York, you don't have to know people in New York to be outraged. But you know, and I'm outraged by every single one of these stories. But yes, I have a lot of friends in New York. And yes, you got to go through the panic thing of reaching out to all of them, making sure they didn't die, their kids didn't die today. It's gross, it's just stomach churning, it's heartbreaking, and the cycle of violence is endless. So why is it usually, and if the stories are right that it was a guy shouting Allahu Akbar, why is it in some of these stories, a lot of the stories that terrorism is from white supremacists and the right wing, majority of the terrorist attacks in America are from white supremacists or right wingers, but a solid percentage are unfortunately are from Muslims, Muslim radicals, and disproportionately so given their size of the population here in America. The idea that the Muslims are innately different human beings is insane, and there's no sense in talking about that nonsense eugenic arguments and oh, their religion is just the worst of all the religions. All the religions do violence over and over. So in right now, Rohingya Muslims are being massacred in Myanmar. But now I don't tell you that because of equivalencies and hence the Buddhists are attack us as much. No, I tell you for the opposite reason. Why don't we have, so apparently Buddhists are capable of horrible massacres. Mm-hmm. They drove out hundreds of thousands of Muslims, right? So that's arguably a genocide. So apparently Buddhists are capable of that, and given the right economic, political, cultural circumstance, any of these religions are capable of that. But the Buddhists are not attacking the West. Now, people who are not sophisticated will turn around and go, oh, that's because the Muslims hate us because they hate us, or their religion is particularly violent, even though there are all these different religions that have done unbelievable violence throughout history. I don't care about history. I don't care about today where the Buddhists are doing it. I don't care about anything. Okay, fine, you're stupid, I can't help you. But the real answer is, Buddhists are not attacking the West in America because we didn't attack them. We never launched a war against Buddhists. Back when we did, back when we were hitting Vietnam, they hit us back. And they hit us in Vietnam, they hit us all over the place, and they wouldn't give up, and they killed a lot of American soldiers. Why? Because we invaded them, right? And now we're dealing with a lot of blowback from the Muslim world. Why? Because we keep invading Muslim countries, bombing Muslim countries, and then feign surprise when our friends and our family members and our children are killed here. It is the cycle of violence. That's what it is. It's not that complicated.
Right. And I think people are going to hear your comment and misinterpret you because they have an intention to misinterpret you and make it seem like you're making an excuse, but you're not making an excuse for them. Obviously, what we've done so far has not worked, right? This is something that continues to happen over and over again obviously not just in the United States, but also in Europe. And our approach has not been successful. So at what point do we recalibrate and move forward in a different way in order to prevent this from happening? You don't prevent it from happening from just disenfranchising more people, from starting more wars. I mean, most people didn't even know that we were in countries like Yemen or Niger. Like, why are we in these countries, right? And so the war machine marches on. A lot of Americans are completely unaware of that, mostly because the media does a terrible job covering those stories. And, you know, how many people in the media were talking about the fact that we're making it easier for our weapons manufacturers to sell more and more weapons in an unregulated fashion to foreign countries? No one's even concerned about that. And so we're arming our enemies left and right. We are doing, you know, foreign policy that continues to build more hostility toward the Western world. We just need to go at it from a different perspective. And we're just unfortunately not doing this in a smart way. We're not moving forward in a smart way. We just keep, it's insanity. We keep repeating the same failed policy over and over again. So.
Okay, so I just want to be absolutely clear. I don't care what stupid right-wingers think. They can think anything they like. And I'm tired of trying to explain things to them. Their tiny little minds, all they think of is he black, is he white, is he Muslim, is he not Muslim, a woman or man, gay or not gay. Okay, you're a Neanderthal, I can't help you, piss off. I don't care what you think, you're stupid and unsophisticated. Okay, so the reality is, like I said, I've got my best friends live in New York, and my heart stops every time there's a terrorist attack. And it's kids on a school bus, and I don't want to see and I think, oh my God, the last thing on earth I want is for that to be some kid I know, okay? And I had, you know, we had friends in New York on 9/11. We can go through the same thing. Dave Kohler, co-founder of the Young Turks, covered in dust, okay? Saw the buildings collapse. We can go through the whole thing. No, we are progressives. We want to end the violence. We don't want the violence. And we're not saying that the only way to do it is peace and love and harmony and kumbaya. And that guy, it's already too late for him, the guy who did the terrorist attack today. Right. There's no saving him. There's no negotiating with him. If we could, we'd have taken him out before he did any attack. What we're trying to do is end the cycle of violence so it doesn't keep on happening over and over again. So that one day it doesn't happen to your kids and your family and your loved ones. And if someone is gonna stand in our way and promote more violence and more war, and it's gonna get us killed here in America, well then I'm going to fight them with every fiber of my being. And if they think that it's like a intellectual exercise to just scream Muslim and then walk away and think that they're smart, I'm not gonna let them get away with it because it's getting us killed. We have to be smarter than that. And we have to stop listening to Neanderthal right wingers who keep getting us into these wars and keep getting us killed.
Let's take a break. When we come back, some other news, including what Bryan Cranston currently thinks of Donald Trump and his administration. Might surprise you. Some words of support. Come right back.
All right, back on the Young Turks, Jen Canana with you guys. Eagle Parade writes in, how do you always show emotion for these tragedies? They happen so often, I'm almost numb to it all throughout the world. I don't know, man. I have empathy. I don't know what else to say. And so I always think, what if it was us? What if it was my kids? And it drives me crazy. And so I hope that that a lot of other people feel that way so that we're motivated enough to fix it. Okay, Mr. Charles, on a way lighter note, says, I threw a giant bucket of candy on the front porch so these punk kids don't interrupt me during TYT Live.
Yes! What's his name?
Mr. Charles.
And his name is Charles. Oh my God, this guy is a winner in every way.
Why? Why is Charles? Oh, because of your dog, Charlie. You're the worst. Okay, but fine. In honor of Anna, you get a shirt.
Yes!
Mr. Charles, she just talked you into a shirt, and that'll make up for the candy you've lost during TYT Live. Okay, on YouTube Super Chat, Food Bucket Jesus says, if he wasn't so dimwitted, Trump could easily distract the media and get people on his side now by pushing for Medicare for all, if only. Yeah, and that's actually what he promised. Lower premiums, better coverage, and universal coverage. That's Medicare for all. Mm-hmm. But of course he's not gonna do that, because he's not paid to do that, he's corrupt. And if he did do that, he'd be the left of Dianne Feinstein.
Yeah, I know, isn't that crazy? By the way, real quick, during a get together with some extended family members last night, you know, there was a male individual who made a point about how, why can't you guys just accept the fact that Trump is our president, just support him and stop being so critical. During that same get together, later he started complaining about rising healthcare costs.
Yeah.
Right, which by the way, our premiums are increasing mostly because of instability and, you know, just how unpredictable this administration is when it comes to healthcare policy. And so I shut my mouth. I didn't have it in me to get into a political debate, but I just found it interesting.
But I do remember all the Republicans just accepting that Obama was president and being totally fine with it. I remember they didn't fight him at all. Okay, and by the way, so on Thursday's show at 6 o'clock, we're announcing who the candidate against Feinstein is going to be, the progressive candidate. Then we're going to do basically 5 hours of show. We're going to do 2 regular hours, and then you're going to get to meet the candidate. And then we're going to do 3 extra hours of coverage, okay? And Jimmy Dore is going to be in, John Iadarola is going to be in. And then we're going to play aggressive progressive after that. So that's like the 6th hour. So the extra election coverage almost gives you 4, in a sense, 4 hours of aggressive progressive. So if you like aggressive progressives, you're going to love Thursday's show.
Yep.
So don't miss that right here on TYTnetwork.com. And our members today are Peter Rink and Candace Burdick. Anna apparently has a surprise for you guys in the post game. That's TYTnetwork.com/join. All right, what's next, Anna?
All right. Actor Bryan Cranston was rather critical of Donald Trump while he was a candidate running for president. But what does he think about Donald Trump today? Well, recently the Hollywood Reporter caught up with Cranston, and during the discussion he said something pretty interesting that I think a lot of people, even those who have been critical of Trump, can get behind. Here's what he had to say. President Trump is not the person who I wanted to be in that office, and I've been very open about that. That being said, he is the president. If he fails, the country is in jeopardy. It would be egotistical for anyone to say, I hope he fails. To that person, I would say, fuck you. Why would you want that? So you can be right? He continues to say, I don't want him to fail. I want him to succeed. I do. I honestly do. And if you've got a good idea that helps the country, oh man, I'm going to support you. I don't care if you're a Republican and I'm a Democrat or whatever. We've got to get away from this idea that our country is political football and someone with a different opinion is the enemy. Assume they love this country as much as you do, and there's always room for improvement. How can we make it better? So look, I actually agree with him. I when he got inaugurated, I didn't want him to fail. I thought maybe he'll surprise us, because he didn't strike me as someone who really had an ideology during the campaign. He struck me as someone who just wanted to win and would say whatever it would take to win. But unfortunately, I believe that he's failed us with a number of different things that he's done, from his childish juvenile behavior on social media to, you know, all of this healthcare stuff, to the transgender ban, which by the way, because it's been a crazy news week, we didn't get to the story, but a federal judge blocked a portion of that. And you know, all the other things, and pretty soon tax cuts for corporations. I don't want him to fail. I want him to succeed, but unfortunately, what I predict actually happened, or what I predicted actually happened, and what I wanted to happen has not happened.
Okay, so let me both defend and disagree with Bryan Cranston. First of all, why am I defending him? Two counts. One, I like him. I love him as an actor. Mm-hmm. And I agree with him politically. He even said he'd move to Canada if Trump won. That's what I always tell people, don't say that, you're not gonna move to Canada. Yeah. And of course he didn't move to Canada. I once had a 2-minute conversation with him, and I was so happy. Okay, I'm keeping it super real about my bias, okay? But more importantly, I like the sentiment. I like the sentiment that you want the country to succeed no matter who's right. And especially the part that I love about this, his idea is, it's not about your ego. So if we get to a better place, but you were wrong about it, that's great. Mm-hmm. Okay, no problem at all. And I say that all the time. I make predictions on air, and then usually they're disastrous, and I go, I hope I'm wrong. And from time to time, of course, I am. For example, one of my hopeful predictions about Trump, and it was about the only hopeful prediction about Trump, was that he's so counterintuitive and unpredictable that he might actually be able to get a deal between Israel and Palestine.
I remember that.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've been wrong. He's done anything about that, and it is very unlikely that he will.
But Kushner's got that.
Yeah, he's got it on lockdown. That's right. Okay, now the parts that I disagree with. So, no, there are parts that I definitely hope that he fails at, and not failing for the country, but failing with his agenda. So, if he wants giant tax cuts for the rich, which he does, my answer to that is I'll be polite and say hell no. I hope he fails disastrously, epically on that, because I think that creating an extra $2 billion in debt just so that they can transfer wealth to the top is a disastrous idea for the country. It would be good for his agenda, it would be great for his donors, and it would be terrible for the country. So, on the other hand, I hope that he succeeds with North Korea. If he fails with North Korea and we start a disastrous war and millions of people die, I don't want to be right about that. And I'm not saying that that is going to happen. But with Trump, he's so unstable, it could happen, mm-hmm. and I'm scared to death that it's going to happen. If somehow miraculously, not only does he not screw up North Korea, but he somehow topples Kim Jong-un without a shot fired, and North Korea is free, I would be ecstatic, and I would give him all the credit in the world, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But the last part of this is, look, he unfortunately, because he's a good guy, Cranston still thinks that they're having a legitimate debate. Uh-huh. In Congress, and there's a debate of ideas, and there's good people on both sides. No, there's checks on both sides, campaign checks and independent expenditures.
Ooh, I like that line.
Okay. All right, thank you. So there is the Republican politicians, not the voters, but the Republican politicians are not interested in a debate. They're not interested in any of that. There's no exchange of ideas here. They are paid, it's private financing for private interest. They're paid for those tax cuts and the deregulation. They just deregulated the banks so they could rip off customers and not have to deal with class action lawsuits. That's gonna cost customers billions of dollars. I hope they fail spectacularly in that. Unfortunately, they are succeeding, yeah. and it is hurting the actual American citizens.
You are way too nuanced, bro. Like, this is not, you're so funny. Because, look, it depends on how you measure success. And my interpretation of what he said was, you know, I hope, generally speaking, you know, he succeeds in doing the right thing and leading this country on a better path. I don't think he thought about all of the specific proposals and, you know, hoping that those specific proposals actually get implemented. Because, look, when Trump was running, for me, I felt like a lot of those proposals were just hollow. Because he had no details. Like, he would just say things that were insanely vague. You know, he would sometimes, I think, play to an evangelical or conservative base, but I just thought, okay, he's saying those things to get elected. He's not really gonna do it. But no, he's actually pushing for those specific proposals. So I agree with you. I don't want him to succeed in those specific proposals, at least implementing them. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, Cranston just means, I hope he succeeds and he does the right thing. But it's up for interpretation.
No, and he comes at it from the right place. And I'm not trying to criticize Cranston, and you're right, I'm being too nuanced, bro. Okay, but last thing on this is that unfortunately it is still a misplaced hope. There is no scenario in which Donald Trump sees the light. Okay.
Oh, I have definitely experienced that feeling of despair. Like, it's yeah,
there's no like Dianne Feinstein recently was talking about, like, oh, I think maybe he could turn around and do some good things.
Recently.
There are no turning around. There's no good things. So if we're wrong about that, wonderful. Okay. But that is very unlikely. Cranston's heart's in the right place. And again, I hope I'm wrong, but I really, really doubt it. Trump does not have good intent. And if he succeeds in his policy proposals, it'll be nothing but terrible news for America.
Yeah. All right, moving on to other news. The Daily Beast has uncovered another website that was incredibly active on social media during and after the election that was actually run by Russian trolls. Now, the website was known as Black Matters US, and you might have seen posts by this organization on Facebook because it was all over the place. A lot of their posts went viral. Now, recent information about this group of trolls indicates that they were trying to spread fake information or propaganda indicating that black activists in the United States were launching a war on Christmas, and that they were selling merchandise that supported this so-called war on Christmas. So let me give you the details. According to Ben Collins at the Daily Beast, Black Matters US, which independent Russian media outlet RBC identified as one of the most influential websites and troll accounts operated out of the Kremlin-backed internet research agency, pushed t-shirts imploring its users to say no to ho 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 alongside a picture of a candy cane. So another example, they printed a lot of shirts. By the way, they sold some of this merchandise. They printed shirts that made no sense. I'll give you another example. One said, "Dear cops, don't shoot. Suck." Which
it reminds me of the shirts I used to see in Turkey when I was growing up, like in the 1970s. And they're trying to copy like the Los Angeles Lakers, but they didn't know what they're doing. And so it would be like the Los Angeles Suckers. The Los Angeles Luckers.
Yes, Adidas.
Well, the Adidas is done on purpose to try to trick people. But the rest is just clownorama. And they're doing a troll farm here, but they didn't bother doing any research. So they're like, and they don't apparently or hire anyone that actually speaks fluent English. So, but they also said racist things too, but we'll get to that.
So I'll give you another example. A sweatshirt sold by Black Matters US, its holiday store said boycott Christmas, black don't need white Xmas. And by the way, these are apparently still available for nearly $40.
But now people are gonna buy it like for shtick, you know? Like JR always wears the t-shirts of guys who were on teams for like 13 seconds. Like you could barely get them. Now this is gonna be like a collector's item. Black don't need white Xmas. Oh, is that what black says?
Yeah, there was one that said thug life, and the imagery included handguns and Christmas trees.
Yeah, and so let's get to the Russian government and whoever's paying for this and their racism. So they have a Black Christmas only, and there's a gun in a stocking. Why would black Americans wanna buy that? Like, so like, oh yeah, Black Christmas is where we shoot people. Okay, and then there's a thug life reference. And then they suggested that African Americans boycott the holiday because, quote, you can't afford it. I'm not sure that any of this actually appeals to African Americans, which by the way, actually I am sure because it didn't. None of this stuff sold and it didn't work. But the attempt to divide us based on race is really, really disturbing.
So what's interesting about this particular campaign that they launched was both how unsophisticated and in some ways sophisticated it was. Because these Russian trolls were obviously aware that every holiday season there is this nonsense talking point from the right in regard to a war on Christmas. There's a war on Christmas in the United States. There's no war on Christmas. If someone says happy holidays, it's not the end of the world, right? But they apparently knew that. And so they utilized that talking point as a way of driving a further wedge between races in the country. And so you're right, Cenk, this particular campaign didn't seem to work as much as other campaigns that were launched by these Russian trolls. But I do want to go to a pretty great ABC video, ABC News video on this topic, because they focus specifically on Black Matters US and some of the other strategies that they utilized. Take a look.
Hey, Black Matters US. Hey. A stunning claim tonight about just who's behind the group promoted in this music video, Black Matters US. Congressional investigators say Black Matters US was actually set up by the Russians during the 2016 election to stir up racial tensions.
It's not fair. I don't think it's fair.
Black Matters. The St. Louis rapper who wrote the music for the video says he got Instagram messages from people he did not know asking him to write a song dealing with police brutality.
I had no clue that it was Russian or anything like that. No, sir, it messed me up.
All part of a sophisticated campaign that included Facebook ads, Twitter posts, and efforts to organize at least two big rallies, one against police brutality. U.S. investigators believe it was directed from this so-called troll factory in St. Petersburg, Russia.
It's a way to suppress votes and stoke fear, a level of sophistication that I don't think we appreciated at the time.
So they would also utilize, black Americans for some of these campaigns and make it seem as though what they were doing was good or legitimate.
So anybody still think that the Russian government is perfectly innocent and there's no proof? There's no proof. How much proof do you need? If you hear anybody saying that, they're being purposely blind. And not the Russian people, but the Russian government wants to tear us apart. They want to tear us apart politically. They want to tear us apart racially. I'm not a right winger. I have no. In the old days, when the right wingers had this weird distaste of Russia, right, back from the old Soviet
Union,
the communism. I'm not in that camp. I'm not in the left wing camp that has this weird love affair with Russia. Mm-hmm. I don't know why you have a love affair with Russia. It's led by a dictator that has destroyed and pulverized democracy in Russia, that murders journalists. I don't know why anyone who is a progressive in their right mind would want to defend the Russian government. Are you a lunatic? Okay, now that doesn't mean I want to go to war with Russia. Okay, no, that is not a natural conclusion to I can't stand the Russian government. But for Putin, who authorized all these campaigns, anyone who defends him in America is nuts. I don't get it from a progressive point of view. I don't get it from a right wing point of view. The right wingers are now so smitten with their dear leader Trump, mm-hmm. since Trump loves Putin because Putin probably bailed him out of more bankruptcies, and now you want that corruption is what you support. Okay, you're an idiot. Okay, so look at what they did. Look at what they did. They're trying to tear us apart and get white people to hate black people and black people to hate white people in this country. So, fuck Putin and all of his attempts here. Now, that doesn't mean that the consequences of that are, whether it's war or anything else. Look, Mueller's doing his investigation. That's a separate issue. Let him do the investigation, see what he finds. If he finds connections, let him prosecute that. If he doesn't, then we don't get to prosecute it. I understand that the US also does propaganda. I understand that the US historically has done some terrible things in foreign countries. I'm not in favor of that.
Right, and we talk about those things and we criticize those things as well, including, you know, when the JFK documents were released, a portion of them, what type of propaganda, not just propaganda, what the CIA was planning on doing to Cuban refugees in South Florida just to drum up support for invading Cuba. Like, we criticize those things all the time as well.
But that doesn't vitiate what Putin is doing right now. You can think those things at the same time. What the US government did was bad, and what the Russian government is doing today to rip us apart is terrible. So fuck Putin. I just want to be absolutely clear about that. Okay, now we can move on.
All right, totally switching gears. Let's do a little bit of international news. A Japanese firm is attempting to compensate its non-smoking employees with a little more time off. And the reason why they're doing this is because some of its employees were complaining that people who smoke cigarettes happen to take lengthy breaks while they're at their desks doing their jobs and working. And so they say it's not fair. And surprisingly enough, this marketing firm, which is known as Piala Inc., responded by saying, okay, we're gonna give you some paid time off, 6 days a year to be specific. So the marketing firm introduced a new paid leave allowance in September after non-smokers complained that they were working more than their colleagues who smoked. So also keep in mind that this building is a skyscraper and the firm is on the 29th floor, meaning if individuals wanted to go out and smoke, they would take the lengthy break because it took a while to get all the way to ground level and find an area where it was okay to smoke. And so sometimes it would take 15 minutes, and if you're smoking multiple times a day, well, that could really add up. One of the representatives said that one of our non-smoking staff put a message in the company suggestion box earlier in the year saying that smoking breaks were causing problems. Okay, I love this.
Of course.
It's so good. But it's clever. Okay, first of all, it's clever in that it shows the management cares about the concerns of its employees. So that's it'll help boost morale. That's a positive thing. But more importantly, if I were smoking cigarettes and I knew that I could either choose to continue smoking cigarettes or get an additional 6 days paid leave, I'm going to stop smoking, right? Or at least I'm not going to smoke during work hours. It's going to increase productivity, right? I'm not going to take these lengthy breaks. I might even just stop smoking altogether. Smart. I just think it's smart.
Okay. As an employer, I have a slightly different perspective.
Of course you do.
Okay. Back to the mines. Okay. Now, in all seriousness, look, it's a super tough issue and this is an innovative approach. But so, yes, it's for the non-smokers, it is annoying that the smokers get to keep taking 15-minute break after 15-minute break. And I get it. On the other hand, the non-smokers, you guys are working efficiently, you know, the entire time, the whole 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours, however much you work, you're working nonstop. Like while they're taking their smoke break, you're not looking for anything online. You're just pounding away. Look, and I'll tell you, because I've done your drug. When I was a lawyer, I hated my job. And you know, you got to bill the clients. And I was like, I'm super honest. So like, I'm like, okay, if I wasn't working that minute on it, I don't want to charge the guy, right? Mm-hmm. So it would take me 12 hours to bill someone for 4 hours or 6 hours, because I'm going checking my email, I'm going online, I'm going to get a long lunch because I hate what I'm doing, right? So the non-smokers waste a lot of time too.
Okay, so it is possible that people could be addicted to multiple drugs, right? So the surfing online, checking your email, which by the way, a lot of people's jobs just require them to check email throughout the day. Anyway, but
mine didn't.
There's no reason to believe that the people who are smoking these cigarettes aren't also surfing the web and messing around on their computers.
That's true too. That's a good point. It's a good point.
I'm a good debater. So.
Well, I ain't giving, like, so now I gotta give everybody 6 extra days off? No.
Okay,
I vote no.
So relax. Okay, but by the way, here's another thing that might not apply in Japan, but certainly applies here in the United States. This could significantly lower healthcare costs for the employer who's providing health insurance for its employees, right? And so if you have people living a healthier lifestyle, that's again going to save you more money.
Now, I know, but then I don't like that for progressive reasons. I don't want to get into my employee's life and be like, okay, you're not exercising enough, you're smoking too much, you're drinking too much vodka. You know, like, just let them live.
No, I get it. But you're not going to charge people more for their insurance based on their habits, right? It's essentially creating an infrastructure that encourages people to live healthier lifestyles. If they don't want to do it, they don't have to do it. But you're not getting into their individual lives. You're just creating incentives for people to be healthier.
Okay, I'm going to look for a compromise here. I will be in favor of just the Japanese doing it. You know why? One, they're not here. Two,
they're
working themselves to death anyway.
They are.
Right?
They are.
So by God, if you're in Japan, take some days off.
Yeah. Dave Kohler, who does some HR here, thinks that it's a good idea. And he said that he wants to find innovative ways to save healthcare costs.
But Dave, what have you done to us?
Yeah.
All right. What's next?
All right. After actor Aaron Rapp uncovered details of how he was sexually assaulted by Kevin Spacey, as we expected, it has opened the floodgates for other male actors in Hollywood to share their stories. Now, interestingly enough, The Guardian is reporting that more Hollywood actors are speaking of rampant problems of male abusers targeting other men in the industry. And I think it's relevant and it's worth talking about because a lot of the emphasis is placed on female victims, but there are a ton of male victims as well. And as I've mentioned before, there's usually even more stigma toward them coming out and talking about their experiences. And I want to show them some admiration for their courage in coming out and talking about what they've experienced. So Alex Winter, who's an actor based out of London, talked about what he also experienced as a gay male actor who was preyed upon by other males who had more power than him. He says it's a very taboo subject. I don't know of any boys in any pocket of the entertainment industry that do not encounter some form of predatory behavior. It's really not a safe environment. Wow, okay, so there's another actor who spoke out. Wilson Cruz, who's a gay actor who plays Raps love interest in Star Trek, recently spoke out about sexual harassment at a gay, lesbian, and straight education network awards event, saying that an older gentleman made offers when he was young, adding, "I did not take them up on it. It was uncomfortable. I was in my 20s and I thought, is this what one does?" Right?
Yeah.
And then he was worried that his decision not to act on it would hurt his career, which I think a lot of people do worry about.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of these people prey on younger people, whether they're male or female, because they think they're not going to know what the standard is. They don't know what's right and wrong, and I could pretend like it's normal. And they have no power. And when they have no power, it's easier to take advantage of them. And in the movie industry, unfortunately, in the entertainment industry overall, the gatekeepers in the old days before the internet had all of the power. So when you have that kind of power disparity and you put in honestly men into the equation, and from time to time women do it as well, but it's far more prevalent among men, both gay and straight. It's a dynamic for a lot of abuse and harassment. And so it's not at all surprising. Look, I've told you guys about this over the last couple of weeks. Just because I kept hearing from several different people, never anything specific, and they never named anyone, right? But they for years, folks who've come in here for interviews, etc., have been like, "Whoa, you know, one day that'll come out how much it happens among in gay Hollywood," and so you have to remember, there's also victims who are also either straight or gay,
right,
who've been harassed by those powerful men.
I don't think anyone's sexual orientation is any indication as to whether or not they're likely to be a sexual predator. So let's just get that out of the way.
Yeah,
that is a ridiculous notion. However, I think that oftentimes people who are in positions of power will abuse it if they think that it's okay to prey on those who don't have power, right? Again, sexual orientation has nothing to do with it. Harvey Weinstein, obviously not gay, right? But
neither is Bill
this,
O'Reilly, Roger
right.
Ailes, Bill Cosby. So that's exactly our point, which is that being gay doesn't magically make you not a part of the human interactions and family. Of course, they have the same reactions. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. To think that they are either better or worse is preposterous. And unfortunately, we're seeing some of the damage that was done in this situation as well. And it's time for those men to speak up, and they are, to fight back so that it doesn't happen to the next generation. Okay, all right, we're out of time. TYTnetwork.com/join for the post game and the whole show. All right, bye-bye.